Week, Pastor Blair brought us a message on how Jesus gave us the privilege, gave us the access to God through prayer, for what he did on the cross for us. Then the second week, Trace, he was teaching us what Christ taught the disciples, how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. The third week, Pastor Blair brought us a message on how God loves us and he welcomes us to come to him. Come to him through prayer. So you might ask, here in the fourth week of this series, where are we going to go from here? Well, let me show you.
Persistent means not to give up even when things don't go the way you want them to.
Mr. David, please play soccer with Elmo.
Not right now, Elmo. I'm in the middle of something.
Oh, okay.
Okay, back to persistent. Here's an example. If you want to learn how to dribble a ball like this, you have to keep trying and trying. You have to be persistent.
Mr. David, are you ready for Elmo?
Not yet, Elmo.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to be able to bounce a ball on your head like this, you can't give up. You have to be persistent. So if you really, really want to do something...
Mr. David, please, can Emma and Mr. David play right now? Please.
It pays to be persistent, like my red furry friend here. Come on, Emma, let's play.
Persistent! You go first.
So if that was not a clue... We're going to be talking about prayer, but we're going to be talking about prayer with persistence. And it is, like the song we just sang, you know, it is a privilege for us to be able to come to God in prayer. But it's the privilege of those who are saved and those who have accepted Him as their Savior. And those of us who might be in the auditorium or somewhere, anywhere in the world, or people that you know that do not have Christ as their Savior, do not have that privilege that we sing about. Our lives are full of persistence. I would like to think, and that's probably true, every one of you, persistence is innate in us when we're born. Sometimes it gets stronger as we grow. But take, for example, a small child, a toddler. We all were one once, and maybe we had some once. But a small toddler, when they're learning to walk, they will pull themselves up, try to walk, and fall down. Pull themselves up, try to walk, and fall down. Pull themselves up, try to walk, and fall down. Until their persistence pays off and they are able to walk. We all have that type of persistence inside of us. Today, I would like us to look at what Jesus told the disciples about prayer and faith and why we must remain persistent in our faith and prayer. Our scripture today is from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And it will show us about being persistent in prayer. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father, you are a great God. You, Lord, above all things, know each and every worry, each and everything that is going on in our life. And Lord, we just pray that we might have the persistence, that we might have the idea and the comfort of being your children, that we can come to you as our Father and bring our concerns to you. Lord, we just ask that today that everyone here might have an open heart and an open mind, that, Lord, we might receive your word from Luke 18. I'm going to read Luke 18, and you can follow along. I think it's going to be on the screen. Or go to your Bible and follow along there. Now, Luke 18 is a parable. As we know, Christ taught with parables many times. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? As a little background to chapter 18, you'd have to go back to chapter 17 and know that the Pharisees were demanding that Christ tell them when the kingdom of God would return. Now, we know that Christ answered this question a number of times, and he told the Pharisees, don't you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God, Christ was standing right before them, but they did not see it. He went on to tell them that if you're looking for a sign when God will bring his kingdom back, when he will return, you better not. Because as we know many times, we've heard this many times, there will be no sign. There'll be no sign. He will come quickly and bring justice. We've heard the many things about one in a field and one will be taken and one will be left away. We've heard all of those things. But this is the background. He was talking about the return of the kingdom of God. So he turned his attention to the disciples in chapter 18, and he wanted them to understand until that time, you don't know when it's coming, none of us do, until that time, this is what I want you to be doing. This is what I expect from you. And he used a parable to show you. So if we go to there, I know that today I want to try to cover three imperatives to share on being faithful until Christ returns through persistent prayer. I'm using technology up here, so excuse me. I have a paper copy, too, just in case that goes haywire. The first point says that we must be persistent in obedient prayer. Look at verse 1 in chapter 18. I'm only going to read the last half of it. He did this parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. They ought to pray. Our first imperative is God is telling us, Christ is telling us, that we should pray. That's our first imperative, and we should be persistent when we do pray. You know, I think about the time, God invites us and expects us to pray to faith in him, and I think about when is the first time that God listened to me in my prayer? So I thought back to, the first prayer that God hears from me is my prayer asking for salvation. He hears me and he knows my heart and knows whether I want that salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to key in on two words there for us. We have come to God through grace, but it is through faith. I want to look at one word there, through. As an old English teacher, the idea that the preposition through is there, and through means by what means. God is telling us by grace we're saved by the means of belief, by believing in him. We did nothing, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us through it. You know, with all of that said, we cannot live as Christians alone. We heard songs about it today. We need Christ, but we need our faith in Christ, God Himself, so that we can live a life to glorify Him. You know, we were created to have relationships, relationships with each other, relationship with God. That's what He created us for. And in that relationship, He invites us to pray. If we, again, look at verse 1, He speaks to the disciples, and He said, to show that at all times they ought to pray. He's telling them, you need to pray, the kingdom's going to come, and until it does, you ought to pray. Persistent prayer. Prayer is imperative. Prayer is a way that our Creator gives us to connect to Him and His power. Let me demonstrate. This is a cell phone. Most all of you probably have one. I haven't heard any go off. That's great. Hopefully mine doesn't. This cell phone is fine by itself. It has power. It works. And I can use it for many different things, as I think Trace or somebody covered earlier. If I take this phone and I lay it down and I leave it there for, let's say, a couple of days, what's going to happen to it? No, it's going to die, right? I know my phone will. I don't know about yours, but my phone will be useless at that time. My phone will be useless unless we all pull out our little cord and we plug that phone in, but that's still not enough. We don't have one up here. But this phone needs to be plugged in to power for it to be able now to be used again. God is like this also. He expects us to pray, and our connection with Him is through prayer. And if we want to be connected to the power of God, we can do that through prayer. So it is our obligation, it is our command from God that we should pray so that we are connected to His power. You know, look at our world today. Would you say our world today is connected to the power of God? I definitely would say no. But that's what our world needs. Everybody's trying to come up with solving problems, but the biggest problem is they need to be plugged into the power of God. You know, God's word is full of examples of prayer. To me, that shows me that prayer must be important. Whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, prayer is very prevalent. I'd like to give you a few examples of persistent prayer in God's word. We'll start out in Genesis, and we have Abraham. Abraham was persistent prayer and persistently praying with God. You remind me of Elmo in the video, but he persistently prayed for God that Sodom be spared. He said, if there's 50 righteous people, will you spare it? How about 40? How about 30? 20? 10? So he persistently prayed and asked God to intervene with Sodom and not to destroy it. We all know what happened to Sodom. There were not even 10 righteous people. Then there was an example again in Genesis. We have Jacob. Remember, Jacob wrestled. He had the leg of a man who was actually God, an angel himself, and he was saying, do not. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to hang on until you bless me. He wanted a blessing from God. And we know that in that, he received that blessing from being persistent. He would not let go. It kind of reminds me of when some of you, maybe your little toddlers came up and grabbed you by the leg and they wanted something and they weren't going to let go until they got it. I had a son like that. Then there was Moses. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy and Exodus, we see Moses intervening for Israel. He had brought Israel out of Egypt, and they were disobedient, they grumbled, they complained, and Moses always prayed to intervene that God would forgive their sin. He was persistent. At one time, Moses prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. We've heard that number before, but I thought that was something. Do you pray for 40 days and 40 nights? Then it was Hannah. Hannah in the 1 Samuel was without a child. She wanted to have a son for her husband. Now Hannah prayed, and she was persistent in her prayer. She obeyed God, and she prayed in the temple on her own, but she prayed that God would give her a son. And Eli heard her in the temple, and she said, God will bless you. And she continued to pray, and sure enough, God blessed her with a son, which we all know was Samuel in the Bible. Then you have the psalmist in the Old Testament. The psalmist continually came to God. All through the Bible, we see them coming to God and praising him, as well as asking and requesting things from him, and asking for protection from things that were coming after them. The psalmists were persistent in their prayer. We see it constantly in there. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, I urge you that requests and prayers, interventions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. First of all, I urge you that you request and pray. God wants us to pray. So in the Word of God, we can see that God invites us and expects us to pray, obediently pray. That is our power. That is our connection to Him. Are you praying through faith as you were invited and commanded to do so? Are you plugged in to the power through prayer? Our second point says that we must be persistent in continual prayer. Continual prayer. In Luke 18, again, 1, verses 2 and 6 we'll be looking at. You know, in our faith, we are to continue at all times in prayer. We see that in verse 1. If we go back to verse 1, it says to show that at all times they ought to pray. So now we have the imperative pray, and we have another imperative. At all times, we need to pray. Continually, we need to pray. Notice that I said, in our faith, we are to continue in prayer. There's another little preposition, the word in. And it takes a little different meaning to me. It says, in is within me. I was saved through faith, and now faith, through the Holy Spirit, is in me. And I'm to pray in faith. I'm to pray in the faith that God has given me through salvation. This in faith shows that I qualify for God to hear my prayers. I was saved and I'm in Him now, and He listens to what I ask. In our scripture reading, verses 2 through 5, we see the widow wanting legal protection. If you'll remember, the widows and orphans at this time, in biblical times, the law was that they were the most vulnerable people in the Bible. And God had told them, and the rules were written, the law was written in the Old Testament for the prophets to tell, and in the New Testament for the apostles, that these people, the widows and orphans, need to be protected and taken care of. Now we see the widow in this. She is persistent and she's continually doing what she feels she needs to do to get her protection. The widow is a great example for us. The widow is an example. She is an example that we all have experienced persistence in our life. Let me share you a little story about prayer and persistence. I have two sons. And his mom and myself, their moms, I should say, there's two of them, their mom and myself, my wife, constantly lifted them up in prayer, even before they were born. And we still today, at their ages of, how old are they, 48? 48, I have to think. They're in their 40s anyway. So their age, we're still lifting them up in prayer. We're still there to lift them up each and every day. My oldest son, since the eighth grade, wanted to be in the medical field. Now, he faced a few hurdles, and the first big one came when he was in high school, and that hurdle was called chemistry. He struggled a little bit in chemistry. Maybe it was a mountain to him, but through our prayers and through his persistence, he went to the teacher and he said, "Mr. Reynolds, you have two chemistry classes every day, like the one I'm taking. One of them I'm in. The other one is when I have a study hall. May I come to this class two times a day so that I might learn chemistry?" And Mr. Reynolds says, "You sure can." So he went to chemistry twice. He learned the basics of chemistry and the understanding, and that carried him through his understanding in his college chemistry and also in his medical school chemistry. And today, he's a successful doctor. My other son went to college, knew what he wanted to be in college. He wanted to be an educator. I was an educator. I was for 43 years. I tried to talk him out of it, but that's what he wanted to do. You know, it's not, if I'm in it for 43 years, it's not something terrible because you have a lot of influence. And he went about his college career, graduated, got a job, said, "Yay, I'm doing what I was trained to do, and I love it." Well, that's what he thought. After the first year, he was ready to quit. Raising him up in prayer and giving him advice, he still quit. Raising him up in prayer and giving him more advice, he said, "Try in another atmosphere." So he applied for some jobs all around the Central Ohio, and he was offered few jobs, and he took one. And today, he is after 20 years, he is still teaching, and he enjoys it, and he is able to influence minds, and because of his salvation, souls of those students that he is in charge of. Persistence pays off in our life, and when prayer is tied to it, maybe nothing can go without accomplishment and success. So we know, like the widow, that we can obtain wishes by being persistent. But only a believer can experience the persistent prayer to our Father with results. Results like joy. In John 16, 14, it says, "Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." God wants to give us joy through us praying and consistently and continually coming to Him. In James 4, 2, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask." So God wants us to ask for everything in our life. Like the song says, whether it's something small or whether it's something large in our life. He wants us to stay in communication with Him. He wants us to stay plugged in to His power and to do it persistently. In Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." Most of us know this one. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." God wants us to pray. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to continually come to Him and be persistent in our prayer to Him. He will hear us. You might ask, well, how can we be faithful and continue in prayer? Well, I'm going to let you know that you already are, if you're praying, hopefully. Every one of you, I would venture to say, I know including myself, every one of you always do certain things every day in your life. You have a routine that you do. That routine decides when you get up, when you eat, when you exercise. So we have a routine that we go through all day long. When we go to work, that's not always our choice, but we have a routine. And we follow it. And if something happens to that routine, it messes our whole day up. So we always do those, though. Always. And that's the key. You know, we should always have a routine in our Christian life also. And prayer should be part of that routine, each and every day, each and every moment. I say that because in Psalms 55:17, it says that we are to pray evening and morning and at noon. We heard a little bit about that from Trace, but we're to pray continually to our God and bring our requests to Him. My own routine every morning is I get up. Before I do anything, I go downstairs, sit in my nice, comfortable chair, and I read God's Word. Then I pray, and now I feel I'm ready for whatever that day may bring. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We are to pray for each other. We are to pray and persevere in that prayer. We're to pray always, it says, at all times. We're to be doing this continually, persistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I love that one. I was able to learn that one very quickly. You know, pray without ceasing, but do not cease. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. He wants us to pray everywhere. Even when you're driving your car, you can pray, but don't close your eyes, okay? We've heard that one before, but it still gets a laugh. That's good. So we're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray always. We're to pray everywhere. We are. There's no place that we cannot pray to God. I don't know about you, but I'm praying right now at this moment that God will continue to watch over me during this. Jesus gave us an example of continual prayer. Everywhere we go and see Jesus in the Bible, he is praying, he's going off to pray, or he's coming back from praying. Jesus, in Luke 6:12, it says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. You know, there's times that I wake up in the middle of the night, like Pastor Blair said last week. He woke up at 1:39, and what did he do? He prayed. There's times that I wake up in the middle of the night, and like this one says, praying all night long, Jesus did, and I begin to pray. Next thing I know, I'm waking up to an alarm clock. I was not able to pray all night long. That prayer either soothed me and God gave me the rest that I needed, put me back to sleep. But then, you know, when I wake up, I remember exactly where I was in that prayer, who I had prayed for. That's amazing to me that I could do that, especially at my age. Jesus Christ persisted in pursuing his Father's will when he prayed. His Father's will. We even see in Luke and Matthew and Mark, the same incident is repeated, where Christ prayed that the cup would be removed from him, that he would not have to die for our sins. Aren't we glad that Christ chose to follow the will of his Father and to die on the cross, that today we might be connected to him through his righteousness and what he did on the cross for us through prayer? You know, continual prayer is important. Our attitude in life is a continual prayer. What we say, what we do, and how we serve are a living prayer in action. Are you in constant contact with your Savior? Are you plugged in to the continual prayer to your Father, plugged in to his power? Our third point is that we must be persistent in long-suffering, faithful prayers. So in verse 1, we saw that Christ told us that, if we look at verse 1 again, to show that at all times, that was our second point, they ought to pray, our first point, and not to lose heart. Long-suffering, faithful prayers. Not to give up, lose hope, at any time, no matter what is happening in our life. So we see that in verse 1. Remember what we said about what Christ was talking about in chapter 17, the coming of the kingdom of God. God expects us to pray until his return. God expects us to continually pray at all times until he returns. And he expects us to be long-suffering, patient, waiting until his return. But always pray. So Christ was telling the disciples that they would not know the time that the Lord would return with the kingdom of God. And he would cast judgment on those who do not believe. We talked about how to believe at the beginning. So they must be faithful until the time and pray. Be long-suffering in your prayers. Do not be distracted or do not be discouraged, as we heard in one of the songs, not being discouraged. So if an ungodly person like the widow, can grant persistent request like the ungodly judge did in verses 2 through 5 to the widow, how much more in our persistent faith, in our persistent praying that the widow shows, the widow, as I said, is an example. She shows the persistence that we need to have. He asked the disciples then, when the Son of Man comes, so in verse 8, shall he find faith on earth? So if we just look at verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Persistent faith. And he asked the disciples that. The question is, will we remain faithful through our prayer, through our persistent prayer, through our continual prayer? Will we remain faithful? Only our faithfulness in prayer to our God in heaven will keep us pointed in the right direction in our life. So here we see Christ telling the disciples not to cease in their prayers and remain faithful and persistent until he returns. God wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him, his will, as we talked about earlier, and to always pray and to never lose heart, as it says in verse 8, never lose heart till his return. Do not lose hope, faith, and stop praying. Have you ever had struggles in your life? I'm sure you have. And some of them seem like mountains that you can't overcome. I have a personal story. Sometimes I can share this and sometimes it wells me up. But my brother-in-law had one of those struggles, my wife's brother. And he struggled because he had cancer. He struggled for more than a year. And we prayed, his church prayed, we prayed, he prayed. We prayed and we knocked, we asked, we seek for God to give us the desires of our heart. That is that our brother would be healed so that we might fellowship with him on earth. My brother-in-law, 49 years old, a wife and a child, passed away, 49. And in our grief and in our anger sometimes, we said, did God answer our prayer? And naturally, if you would have asked us back in 1990s, we would have said, no, because we were grief-stricken. We were angry even a little at God. But we did one thing. We remained faithful and persistently in prayer and support of each other. We remained in contact with God, even though we were disappointed sometimes with the answer. God says one thing we have to realize, that it was his will. And so we came out of that, and I think, thanks to Pastor Dewey, I looked at it a little bit differently. Yes, he did answer our prayers. He answered our prayers because my brother-in-law was a born-again believer in Christ. And today, he is healed in the presence of God. So yes, he did answer. Maybe not the way we wanted, maybe especially not the way our family wanted, but he was healed. You know, God knows what we need and he will grant our needs according to his will and his timing, not ours. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 starts us out that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. If God does not answer our prayers the way we want, he's still there with us. He's still there to walk with us and to walk us through that mountain. Joshua 1:9 tells us that we shouldn't lose hope. Have I not commanded you to be strong, be courageous? Do not tremble, do not dismay, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God never left us during that time of struggle, and he won't leave you in your times of struggle. But we must trust in him and wait on him and be patient with him. Long-suffering is being patient. Micah 7:7 says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Wait. And Isaiah 26:8 says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Waiting for God's judgments, not our own, not our own. So in verse 8, God tells us that the kingdom will come and our vindication will be quickly, like the widow, it will be given. But Jesus wants to know how faithful will we be. He asks some questions. First, he says, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Faith like the widow. Faith that are patient. Faith that is faithful to him. But will his delay affect your faithfulness? We don't know when he's coming. So does that mean we don't have to continue to pray? Let's wait until it gets closer. Well, the problem is you don't know when it is. God might take you to his kingdom today. Or some of us might be here when God's kingdom comes to us here on earth. We do not know the time. So in review, let me look at a few things. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, God wants us to be faithful. First, he wants us to be obedient and pray. He earned the right for us to pray, to have that connection with God. So we should exercise that right and pray. Secondly, pray always, he says, at all times. It should be part of our life always, without ceasing. And thirdly, he says, be long-suffering in your prayers. Be patient. Wait for God's answer and trust in God's answer. I have a little thing to share with you about that. I was a principal, and sometimes the teachers brought discipline problems to me. The one thing I told the teachers was, if you bring a discipline problem to me, I will decide what happens to that child, not you. God is like that with us. When we bring a request to him, we pray to him, we must realize that God will give the answer. It is not us who tells him what to do. It is he that will answer us in his time and through his will. So how about you? Jesus asked a question in verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Can you live a life of faithfulness in prayer and persistence like the widow in our reading? So in conclusion, as the worship team comes forward and our prayer partners take their place, I would like to ask you a question. Do you today qualify to have God hear your faithful, persistent prayers? Have you been saved by the grace through faith? If you have not, today is the time for that salvation. I ask you to do, if you have not made that decision, I ask you to do three things. One, first of all, is to confess that you are a sinner. Realize that you are a sinner. Secondly, realize that the wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And thirdly, confess it with your mouth. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. So today, again, is the day of salvation. The prayer partners will be here. They'll stay here a little after the service. They want you to come and bring anything, any request that you have that they might pray with you and pray alongside you. We should all be connected with each other as we are connected to the power of God through prayer.